Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Final hour of Ben and Woods on a Tuesday morning. It has flown by.
Yeah, it has.
Today, coming up at 8:35, we'll be joined by the new head coach of the San Diego Gulls, Kevin Dineen. And I have to admit, I kind of remember the name just kind of from general sports casting covering the NHL. And I was surprised when I came in this morning to learn, oh, yeah, from Woodsy. I'm a big Kevin Dineen guy. I'm
yes. Like, right.
You're a big Kevin Dineen guy. How?
Well, you know me. I mean, hockey. It's all I ever think about and research and talk about. No, it's crazy, man. We ended up moving from Dallas to Simsbury, Connecticut in 1986. And at that time, they had an NHL team, the Hartford Whalers. And I had a lot of friends. We always used to go to the games. And Kevin Dineen was there, Dave Tippett, all kinds of guys that I had grown up watching play. I mean, I've probably seen this guy play 50 games, you know? It's crazy. And now we both end up out here in San Diego, California.
So were
California.
You still there when they moved?
When did they move?
I don't know. They became, I feel like they became the Carolina Hurricanes.
Yeah, I was.
What I want to say.
When I left, middle of my junior year, which would have been, I think, 92, I think they were still there.
Yeah, I never really put a lot of thought to it. Of course, now being from San Diego, where we lost the Chargers to another city. I go back and I think about all these places. You know, Seattle, obviously we've talked about the Sonics going to Oklahoma City, but, you know, Hartford losing their team. It's like, wow. It's like
They left in 97. So I was already gone. But, dude, I mean, Whaler games were so much fun. So, and they were pretty
decent.
What
arena did they play in? Do you remember?
I want to say it was called the Hartford Civic Center, if I can remember that correctly. It's a long time ago, Ben. I've done a lot of things to wreck my brain.
Well, we can ask Kevin Dineen if he remembers.
We can.
A young fan
beating on the glass. Yes, I'm sure he does.
Little did you know you'd be practicing for your future job of beating on the glass at Seals games.
That's exactly right. Exactly right. I hate you.
Ben and Woods, so that's coming up at the bottom of the hour, 8:35. We'll talk to the new Gulls head coach. Right now, though, just want to go through, we got a bunch of Padres topics we've already gotten to, one that we haven't really discussed yet, and love to get some input from fans as well. 833-288-0973. The latest rumors, was it Jeff Passan who threw him out again? I mean, these are all, none of them are brand new. They're all kind of starting to feel recycled in terms of these Padres trade rumors. And that is the fact that both Hunter Renfro and Franmil Reyes are like actively on the trade market, that they're both available for the right price. First of all, Woods, do you feel confident that it's an either-or situation?
I do.
The Padres wouldn't trade both of
Correct.
Them?
Correct. I unless it was too good to pass up, right? I
mean, sure.
I think, man, as I sit here today, if you had to ask me, bet a substantial amount of money if they will be here in 2 weeks, I think they will be. I think they'll both be Padres after the deadline.
I tend to agree with you only because I feel like AJ Preller doesn't make deals unless he feels really, really good about the return.
Yep.
And right now, I'm wondering, where are you getting the return necessary on either of those players? Now, it's possible, you know, a team suffers an injury, corner outfield, they need power. All of a sudden, that becomes a priority, and they're willing to overpay a little bit. Boom. I mean, a deal could happen very quickly sometime between now and the end of July. If you could only keep one and you get the same offer as on the table, and it won't happen this way, but if the same offer was on the table and you were AJ Preller and you could pick either one to keep, either one to trade, what's your decision?
God, that's such a hard question. And like I said going into break, I've got reasons to keep both and I've got reasons to trade both. Where do you want me to start?
Give me your reasons to keep both Hunter Renfrow and Franmil Reyes.
All right, to keep Hunter Renfrow, you have seen him mature. You have seen him know that there's a flaw in his game and work actively to fix it. And that is, of course, him on defense. I mean, as of a week ago, I read an article about him potentially winning a Gold Glove in the outfield. You couldn't, I would not have bet money on that at the beginning of the year.
Not just that as well. I would say pitch selection, he has also worked on improving. I watch him take at-bats, and I feel like he's done a much better job of laying off those outside sliders.
Yes.
That he often chased in years past.
Agreed. I what you see with Hunter Renfrow is progression. So the reasons to keep him are progression, the ability to get better, want to get better, and production.
Yeah,
he's produced.
In the future, if you want Hunter Renfrow to reach full value and potential, you need to see a higher on-base percentage.
Yep.
Fewer strikeouts, more hits than aren't just home runs, and then put that together with the defensive improvement, you've got a full-fledged all-star on your hands, no doubt about it. There, he's not that far off. He's a couple of tweaks, couple of improvements away from being a full-fledged all-star.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I agree with you on both of those counts.
The reasons to keep Franmil Reyes, he's one of us, and by one of us, I mean he's a Padre. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I'm in that clubhouse, he is a vital piece of keeping that team loose. He is a natural fit for this team. He is a beloved character, which I think is important. You know, as you build a culture, I think he fits so well into the culture here in San Diego, okay? Also, raw power. Just raw power in all parts of the field. He can spray the ball. His spray chart, as you pointed out last week or the week before, of his home runs, they are all across the board. I think that he can get better. I think he has the ability to hit big league pitching. I think he can. I think the guy could be. I think he could be a potential all-star too because he has that raw power.
You've danced around it, but I don't think you've hit the nail quite on the head on Franmil Reyes. And he's younger and controllable longer.
It's a fair point.
Than Hunter Renfrow as well. You have more time to see that improvement. He starts at a higher level than Hunter Renfrow did. When Hunter Renfrow went through his struggles, first couple of years, and you can say that's on Hunter. You can say it's on the Padres for not giving him consistent playing time, that maybe this development would have happened a little bit faster if he was more than a platoon part-time outfielder. But it's now taken, into his fourth season.
He's 27 and Franmil's 24.
Yeah,
the
clock is running. I think Hunter's got one more ARB eligible year next year and then free agency after that, whereas Franmil is still early on in his controllable years. He doesn't even hit arbitration for a couple of more years. So you've got more time to see him develop as a player. That is that's big for any GM. That's huge.
Age is massive right now.
I mean, would you rather have four very good seasons out of Franmil Reyes or one outstanding season out of Hunter Renfrow?
Yeah, I mean, if you're both going to hit around 250, 260 with 40 bombs and 100 RBIs or 90 RBIs and, have an OBP of 330, 340.
You give up a little defense with Franmil, certainly. But
see, it's not just a little defense. Hunter has turned himself into a really good defensive outfielder.
On the flip side, then, the reasons to trade the two guys. Obviously, you kind of start with Franmil with his defensive liabilities in the outfield.
Correct. That's the first thing I had written down was defense. With Hunter, the reason that you trade Hunter is because he's tradable. And he's valuable. And you will net more, I think, for Hunter Renfrow right now. Well, I don't know, because of the age again. I don't know. I just don't know how they're perceived outside of this market.
I think you might, simply because he also has that cachet of being a former first-round draft pick. And while it shouldn't matter after a few years, what have you been able to do for you in the major leagues? What did you look like in the minor leagues? Always going to be an easier sell, whether it's to your fan base or to your owner. Yeah, hey, we want to acquire this guy. Well, why are we giving up? I like these guys that you're trading. Well, we're getting a former first-round draft pick who's hit 27 bombs, and, we got to trade something to get something. I don't think it's that hard of a sell to acquire Hunter Renfrow right now. Whereas Franmil is like, you know, yeah, we don't know that much about him. He kind of burst on the scene. Padres didn't even protect him last year in the Rule 5 draft.
Shocking.
Yeah, it's like, well, you could have had him for nothing. In the Rule 25 grand or whatever it is in the Rule 5 draft last year, and you skipped over him. I mean, why didn't you acquire him back then? Now we have to give up all these prospects for him? That doesn't make sense. Let's get Hunter Renfro instead.
I mean, right here, Chris Tier 1 McDaniel tweets in, for a team that does not win playing small ball, and as pitchers that typically give up runs, trading our power guys will cost us games. Even though 2019 was never the year, I believe if we trade either guy, it means we are white flagging 2019. I mean, God, unless it's for a rotation piece, you know, a really good rotation piece, I kind of tend to agree, which is why I said when we started this, I think they're both Padres August 1st. They got to be blown away. I think AJ's going to have to be blown away.
It is a seller's market, though, with so many teams still in the wild card race, especially in the National League. If they all think they've got a chance, there's not going to be a lot of players out there that are being sold. So you can ask, extra. You can get a pretty penny for a player like those guys, you know, in a situation like this.
I was watching, it was some baseball. It was either a game or it was MLB Network yesterday. You know who they're saying is going to fetch a massive haul at the deadline? Brad Hand. A massive haul. They said they're like, people are going to overpay for a guy like Brad Hand right now. And it could be a team like the Twins, which would make no sense because they're in the same friggin' division as the Indians. But Brad Hand is the guy out there that a lot of people are talking about to get a massive haul. And first thing I thought of, well, if Brad Hand's getting a massive haul, what would Kirby Yates net? There's a little bit of an age difference there too, but Kirby Yates is lights out right now. And it just, I don't know. It wouldn't surprise me if Hunter, Franmil, and Kirby are still here August 1st.
Guys, time to announce our biggest fan of the day. When we give the name, you will have 10 minutes to call in and claim today's prize. 2 tickets to see the Padres and the Orioles hook up on July 29th at Petco Park. Plus, you'll be entered into our grand prize drawing for a Vegas getaway to see Shania Twain at Planet Hollywood. George Agius, A-G-I-U-S, George Agius. You are today's biggest fan. Call 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. If you call in, you'll claim the Padres tickets. You'll be entered into our grand prize drawing. If you haven't entered yet, don't wait. Go right now to 973thefansd.com/biggestfan. Get your name into the hopper for our biggest fan contest.
I love the hopper. Get in there.
Get in the hopper.
Get in that hopper.
All right, as we said, Kevin Dineen at the bottom of the hour. Phone lines are open, getting more reaction. Would you trade Hunter Renfro? Would you trade Franmil Reyes? Which one would you trade? Which one would you keep? We want to hear from you, Padres fans. 833-288-0973. That's next.
And
yeah, you
how
can't
can
you,
you
can't
that?
Trade that
how
guy.
Can you
I'm
trade
sorry.
That
you wanted an answer. There's your answer. You can't trade him.
That was audio from the Padres there of Franmil Reyes singing a little Whitney Houston after one of the wins. Yet Mad Flabby tweets us at Ben and Woods and says exactly that. You trade Franmil. His defense and play discipline need more work. He also thinks Josh Naylor would mash with regular ABs.
That is not something that you and I agree on. Chubb, what is it? Flabby Man?
Mad Flabby.
Mad Flabby? Josh Naylor just is not blowing my skirt up so far. I don't know. Just call me
first
call
in
me
the
crazy.
Big leagues. A lot of guys struggle to adjust.
I get it, Benny.
He hit everywhere in the minor leagues.
I totally get it. But if we're talking defense, you think Josh Naylor is an upgrade defensively over Franmil Reyes? No.
833-288-0973, Padres fans. If you've got some thoughts, who to trade, who to keep, Hunter Renfro or Franmil Reyes, J-Mac Shuffle says you sandwich an elite defensive center fielder in between both and keep them. 70, 80 home runs from our young left field, right fielder who should get better over time. Why are we complaining? How about develop some player consistency instead of a revolving door at many positions like in previous years?
Also a great point. I mean, maybe that's your right fielder and your left fielder of the future and you just leave them, right? I mean, you don't have to do anything with any of these guys. We're just saying if a team comes to the table and they offer you something ridiculous, which one of those guys, assuming they're essentially the same player, obviously a little bit young, one's a little bit younger, but if the Minnesota Twins come knocking and they say, all right, here's a guy that's big league ready for the rotation next year, here is this guy and here's this guy, you know, like, if the offer is too good to pass up, if it's Gleyber Torres for Aroldis Chapman, if it is, think about all those deals that have gone down, you know, and you go, oh, yeah, you have to take that deal. If it's that deal that comes to A.J. Preller's desk, which one would you rather see leave? I like I said, I think they're both going to be here come August 1st. I really do.
The wild card factor that you have to consider, but you don't really know the answer to, is the designated hitter.
Correct.
Coming to the American League. Brian tweeted in and said, if there's any chance the DH is coming to the NL during our legit window, 2020, 2021, and beyond, then we have to keep both Hunter and the Franimal. We're positioning ourselves for the future. That's the ticket. If I knew for certain that the DH was coming in the next couple of years, then I think you have to keep Franmil Reyes. I mean, he screams designated hitter to you.
Yeah.
And the chance to put his bat in the lineup every day without having to send him out to the outfield is so, so appealing.
Which, by the way, is why an American League team may way overpay you for a guy like Franmil Reyes right now, today, or the next
You're certainly taking more phone calls from the AL than the NL on Franmil Reyes.
Yes.
If you're A.J. Preller.
Correct.
I think no doubt about that. 833-288-0973. We've also talked about Andy Green. Again, I jumped into this a day later than you did, Woodsy. I know that I'm sure you took a lot of calls and tweets yesterday.
I did.
About Andy Green. And, you know, I was kind of removed on vacation. I was just looking at the bigger picture, and I think I said earlier, hey, you had seven games against the two best teams in the National League, the Dodgers and the Braves, with an all-star break in between. But normally, you go into a streak like that, and you say, hey, you go 3-4. That's not a bad outcome in those seven games. Unfortunately, it's how it happened, with the Padres taking 3-4 from the Dodgers, then losing the three straight at home to the Braves, makes it look a little worse than had they simply gone win, loss, win, loss, win, loss, win, loss.
It does.
You know, would you say, okay, they split with the Dodgers, they lost 2-3 to the Braves.
That's exactly what you'd say.
All right, it's fine. You know, I mean, you can't get hung up on the order in which all the wins and losses come. You just kind of have to look back and analyze them at the end of the season and
see how many
there were total.
Ben, what fun is that when you can just call for him to get fired after every loss? Where's the fun in that? Where's the fun in being sensible? Where's the fun in taking a larger view? Where's the fun in looking, you know, doing a deeper dive into a really bad bullpen, into a very young starting rotation? I mean, Jesse Agler, we had Jesse on earlier, and he said, yeah, sure, man. You know, you look at some of the losses early in the season when, you know, it's an easy narrative to say, well, the bullpen didn't hold up. Well, listen, Matt Strom got lit up, and Nick Margavichus, who wasn't even supposed to be here, got lit up. There's more than just black and white. The record is this person needs to go, right? I mean, if you looked at his record the last three seasons, you're like, yeah, the guy's the worst manager in baseball. But that's, you had Corey Spangenberg and Carlos Asuaje and you know, Clayton Richard. Nothing against any of those guys personally, except for Asuaje. The rest, it's like, what are you supposed to do with garbage?
I'm like every other fan. When I'm watching the game, I try to have two different hats. I have my fan hat.
Yes.
And then I try to take that off and put something a little more objective
on. Your broadcaster.
When I have the fan hat on and Trey Wingenter is giving up runs and then he brings in Andres Munoz and he blows him away, I'm like, oh, why didn't you just bring him in at the start of the inning?
Well, because there's no crystal ball. There's no crystal ball. Again, the roles of the team, like you want for your bullpen, you want to have defined roles. You just do. You want guys to know, I'm the eighth inning guy. I'm the seventh inning guy. I'm the long man. Like, that's a real thing in baseball.
So when I put on the actual, like, going to get on the radio hat and sportscaster guy, I try to be a little more objective and say, well, if I was in that situation, yeah, I probably would have gone with Wingenter and stuck with him as well. He's more of a proven commodity. You know, we've seen more out of him. We've put him in those situations. We haven't even put Andres Munoz in a high leverage situation yet.
Right.
If I had put him in and he had given up the lead, then absolutely we'd be hammering Andy. Why would you go to a raw rookie, unproven guy in that big situation when you had Wingenter standing by?
Exactly, man. It's damned if you do, damned if you don't. And you know what the difference, and I just realized the difference in our fan hat is this. When Trey gives that up, you know who I'm mad at? I'm mad at Trey. I'm not mad at Andy Green. When Robbie Erlin coughs it up, I'm not mad at Andy Green. I'm mad at Robbie Erlin.
Well, the flip side, when Manny Machado hits a home run, are you happy for Manny or are you happy for Andy
Green
for putting him
in the lineup?
No,
it's exactly right. Like, if we have a bad show, it's not our boss Adam's fault. He's our manager. It's his job to get us in shape to come in here and do a job every day and to put us in the best position to win. And I get it. That's oversimplification. But what I'm saying is, you say the other night, well, I watched Wingenter give it up, and then I saw Munoz come in and blow everybody away. The only person I'm mad at in that situation ever is Trey Wingenter. Ever. I'm never mad at Andy Green for that. Why? Because he's not if Andy Green threw the pitch, I'd be mad at Andy Green. Honest to God, that's how I feel when I watch baseball. The manager to me is so effing secondary in so much of this. Guys, do your job. Do your job. Trey Wingenter, don't throw a 93-mile-an-hour cookie to Freddie Freeman. Ball is right down the plate.
Let's go out to the phones here. 833-288-0973. Mike is in Temecula. Mike, thanks for giving us a call here on Ben and Woods.
Anytime, boys. Hey, I'm kind of like with you guys, or I should say with the, I think August 1st, they're both going to be there.
Yeah.
Because I think AJ did the old, hey, we're going to include these guys. He's just saying that to try to get a blockbuster deal. I think if he gets a blockbuster deal, and I believe Frenchie is strictly American League only, just because he's like a little big poppy to us out here on the West Coast. But it's just, I just honestly believe that if anybody goes from our team, it's probably going to be Kirby, and that's just for some prospects because, it's just
high value. He's got high value right now.
Yeah,
very high value.
And my surprise for next year is we're going to put Will Myers at catcher. We're going to try that position because he's gone through every position there has been. But, I believe Frenchie Cardenas will be the only one. Hey, Will, yeah, I love Will.
You don't.
Right, you don't.
You don't. You don't. Sorry, Mike, at this point. And
I'm sorry.
I love everyone.
What?
I assume you addressed this yesterday. I mean, the at-bats are just getting worse and more depressing. It's sad.
I've gone from mad to sad about Will Myers. Now my heart breaks for the guy because I'm a human being. And when I see it happen, I'm like, oh, no. I mean, the guy, he's beat. He walks up to the dish and he's beat.
He comes up and I just say, just close your eyes. Swing as hard as you can. I mean, blind acorn.
I swear to God,
at some point.
I was saying this to somebody the other day. I would try a black bat. I would try batting gloves. I would try one of those thumb guards. I would try everything you could imagine just to switch it up. I'd put the bat on my shoulder. I'd try to bunt for a hit. I would try anything. He's going up there and he is flailing.
He swings
balls out of the zone.
He lets the ones that are perfect go right down the middle. He swings at the ones outside the zone. It's so frustrating. We got to keep moving. Bottom of the hour. About to be joined by the new head coach of the San Diego Gulls, Kevin Dineen. Woodsy used to cheer for this guy growing up.
Crazy.
On the East Coast. Now he's here in San Diego to take over for Dallas Eakins. Look forward to seeing and welcoming the new guy to San Diego next year on Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan. Not too late to still remind everyone we got a new teammate, right? It's only been a couple of weeks.
Right.
Of course, we're still fairly new around
these parts
as well. But the coach, John Quintero, he's brand new, at least in his new time slot. Listen to the coach on San Diego's only FM sports station, weekdays, noon to 3, the John Quintero Show, here on 97.3 The Fan. We're going to welcome another new guy, the head coach of the San Diego Gulls, Kevin Dineen, joins us coming up next. So generally, Woodsy, if you're a coach in the minor leagues, and I think this applies to baseball, hockey, whatever sport you're talking about, you come to a new town, generally you're a renter, not a buyer. Right?
Yeah.
I've
lived here 9 years. I'm a renter.
Minor league coaches tend to move on. You know, they move up, they move over, change organizations. It happens a lot. That wasn't the case with the last coach of the Gulls. I mean, Dallas Eakins was here since the Gulls joined the AHL, four full seasons. I mean, he could have settled some roots. Then he moves up to Anaheim, not far away, to take over the Anaheim Ducks. Created the vacancy, which was filled yesterday when the Gulls introduced their new head coach, Kevin Dineen, who joins us right now on our SDCCU fan hotline. Coach, it is a pleasure to welcome you to San Diego and to the Ben and Woods Show for the first time. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Ben, Steve. How are you guys?
Doing great. Welcome to town.
Thank you. The rent versus own thing. I think I'm going to rent, but I think I still have to take out a mortgage to do that.
Yes. Welcome to San Diego.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily Quebec City, right? Isn't that where you're from?
Yeah, that's where I was born. I bounced around a little bit since then. So, I've seen a few cities and I've seen a few real estate markets over the years. But you know what? The view's not too shabby around here, but I think you're going to pay the price for it. So that's all right. For me, you know what? I get to be a part of a great organization. I had a chance to meet everybody yesterday and just thrilled that, it's nice being able to walk into a place that you've got real quality people to be around, and that's what I found with that the management group that I met with the Gulls. So off to a good start.
We're to San Diego Gulls. Brand new head coach, Kevin Dineen, and of course, this is wild. I saw the announcement come through yesterday, and I spent about 6 years in Simsbury, Connecticut. And,
oh, boy.
Yeah, and at that time, I was not a Red Sox fan at all. It was right in the heart of Red Sox Nation. The Hartford Whalers were our team. And, of course, you played for the Hartford Whalers. I have fond memories of you and Dave Tippett and just so many guys back then. What do you remember about your Whaler days? And are you bummed they went away?
Yeah, I was. I mean, it's one of those really good hockey markets, but when you're stuck between New York and Boston, you get a lot of dual loyalties around there, and the Whale had that hardcore fan base, as you know, and I was your neighbor right next door in Avon, Connecticut.
Get out of here. Amazing.
Yeah. It's just a great place. I ended up marrying a girl from there, and you were just a young boy, I'm sure, when I was playing.
I was. I was like 13 years old. But I'll tell you, man, the Whaler games were raucous. They were wild. The Whalers, they had a good team. I mean, you guys were competitive. And it's, look, you're in San Diego now. We're a city that's lost a football team. It leaves a mark. It really does. It leaves a mark. And a lot of times, a city can't really recover. And Hartford really hasn't done anything since.
Nah, you're probably right on that. The Chargers, I'm sure you got a little sting on that as well. But I just, I got into the airport on Sunday. It was, got off the plane and was walking out. And I looked over on the TV and Federer and Djokovic were like 9-9 in the first set. So I was like, okay, we're going to stop and just watch this for a second. And I pull up to the bar, and who's right next to me, there's a guy with a Whaler shirt on. And it just kind of
That's amazing.
It really is. It's amazing how, it's a great logo. And a,
amazing logo.
You see that all over the place, and the Whale lives. And I got to tell you, I did a little research. Well, I was listening to you guys this morning a little bit, just to get a little feel before I went on the air. And I got to ask a question. There is such thing as an Amarillo mud poodle.
Sod poodle, like grass.
Sod poodle.
I think it's it's what they call a prairie dog. Out there, it's a sod poodle. Okay, so what's the you've coached around in the minor leagues. What's the most unusual team mascot that you ran into in your either playing or coaching days?
Oh, boy. Now that one's a tough one. I would say, that Gritty is really making a statement. He's really trying to take
Gritty, over
the
he's the
world.
Flyers' new mascot, right? Yeah.
He's doing it. I think the Padres are known for their great mascot as well, right? But I think when you get in the minor leagues, it really does. You really get a good mix, and I've seen some good ones and bad ones over the years. Nothing really sticks out right now, but it becomes a good identity of the team.
Talking to Kevin Dineen, the new coach of the San Diego Gulls here on Ben and Woods. So, Coach, I mean, you had a solid NHL career. You could have gone on to probably other business, retirement, doing that whole minor league circuit. Obviously, you got up and you coached the Florida Panthers as well. But how did you know that you wanted to stay in hockey, get into coaching, and go through that grind again once your playing career was over?
Well, I think I grew up around the game. You know, my dad was a player, and then he is a coach. And, you know, one of the best things, I don't know how much chance you guys get to spend around locker rooms, but when you see players that have kids and their kids are in the locker room, boy, what an incredible atmosphere to be a part of. I mean, you get to hang out with a bunch of really cool guys and, you know, lots of bubble gum and Gatorade around the locker room, and those kinds of things just leave an incredible impression. And I was incredibly fortunate to continue on as a player. And then the next step was, well, what are you going to do? And so many players, doesn't matter what sport you go through, you feel that. And for me, the opportunity came up to stay in the game on the coaching side, and I jumped at it. And here I am, I think four cities later on the coaching side of things, but wouldn't have it any other way. My family's been really supportive, and you know what? I've lived in Portland, Maine, and Parkland, Florida, and Chicago, and now I get to come to San Diego. And here we are talking hockey in July, which probably doesn't happen too much on the sports radio here, but can't say enough about how excited I am here. And I don't know how many games you guys get to the goals, but from everything I've heard, they set attendance records every year in the American Hockey League, and it's a great building, great atmosphere. Can't wait to get going.
Oh yeah, you're gonna love the atmosphere. The locker room's not the greatest, it's a little old, but once you're in the ice and you get the fans around you, you're gonna love it down there at Pechanga Arena. You mentioned bubble gum. My co-host here has a little one who's definitely wants to get into all sports. And I saw the story you told to Bryce Miller of the UT about how you got your kids into hockey. It wasn't as easy, Woodsy, as you would have thought for an NHL player.
Seriously.
Can you share that with our listeners, Coach?
Oh, yeah, your presenter told that story yesterday. Yeah, that's four kids, a daughter that plays college hockey. I've got a son that we're very proud of. He just committed to Yale last week, so we're excited.
Congrats.
Head off on his own career. And but when they were young, you know what, they're a little bit hesitant getting out in the ice there. So I used to take the bubble gum and I used to fire it out in the middle of the ice. And that is sending a dog to chase a ball. They take off skating after that gum. So it was a pretty good lure. And you know, anything you can trick these guys to get on the ice, I tell you what, when they get to the pro level, you don't have to worry about it. Can't get them off the ice, but as kids, that was a pretty good bait to send them out there.
Gum in the batting cage.
Bribery. Yeah. Trust me. He's well on his way. One last question for you, Coach, and we'll let you go. So you, you're coming to this organization with you've got a really good resume, and you're a guy that has actually won an Olympic gold medal. You were the head coach of the 2014 Canadian women's national team. What do you do with a gold medal? Where do you have it? Is it, how special was that for you to win a gold medal for Canada?
Oh boy, it was, and not only was it a great moment, it was just an incredible game. The U.S. and Canada have this just unbelievable rivalry on the women's side, and to be a part of that, you know, it's kind of like you can't have a great game without a great rivalry, and really dramatic stuff. But we have a lake house in upstate New York, up in Lake George, New York. And you know what? Every now and then we'll just pull it out. It's just in a drawer there, and I can't say.
In a drawer at the lake house. Amazing.
In a drawer at the lake house. That's it. You know, that's all you got. That's the best of it. I could say I got it in some kind of a special safety vault or something like that. But you know what? That's the kind of stuff people like to touch and see and feel. And I figure
and steal. And steal. Yes, they will steal it as well.
There's no way somebody's going to be listening here going to make that road trip. So I feel like I'm covered. Anyway.
Yeah, you're good. You're good.
Well, Coach, best of luck. Welcome again to San Diego. I know the season, it's not as far as people think. We're just a couple of months away. You guys will be back at camp and getting ready to go. So I'm sure we'll chat with you again as we get a little bit closer. But good to have you on for the first time. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, man. Welcome.
You got it. Look forward to talking hockey in the fall, guys.
You got it, Coach.
Oh, sounds like we got another good one.
Oh, I know. We were so spoiled with Dallas. By the way, I believe we were saying Dallas Eakin's name wrong for the entirety of our career. I think it's Eakin's.
Aikens.
Yeah.
Kind of the Canadian, eh?
Hey.
Aikens.
Dallas Aikens. Sorry. So, Coach, we're sorry. that we blew that for so many years.
All right. Well, that was Kevin Dinee.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Oh,
no.
On our SDCCU fan hotline.
Is that Minnesota?
SDCCU has low rates. No. Zero closing costs on select mortgage loans, subject to approval, equalizing opportunity. Refinance or apply for a mortgage loan today at SDCCU.com.
You've seen the Whalers logo, right?
Yeah, it's like the fishtail.
Yeah.
And turns into like
the
a
W, but there's an H
whale
in the middle. It's so, so good.
It is one of those classic retro
It's
logos.
So good. Can we bring the Whalers back here? I mean, it would fit, right? The San Diego Whalers? It's perfect. There's whales here. You can go whale watching.
Whaling's not politically correct anymore, so I don't know that you would ever name a team of
How about
whalers.
The whales?
Could just be the whales.
The whales. The San Diego whales.
The killer whales.
I'd be all in. All in on that. God, I love that team when I was a kid.
For sure.
I was so on board with that team and way into hockey, and now it's just lost me.
All right, last few minutes. What we've got coming up this week. You know me.
I do know you.
What am I thinking?
Golf.
Golf. We get a major this week.
The Open.
It's, the Open Championship in Northern Ireland at Royal
Portrush.
Do
your Irish accent.
We'll hold off on that until tomorrow. Did you see how Phil Mickelson was preparing for his major this week? Yes. Phil won here this year, but hasn't really done much in the three majors. He's got one chance left this year to win a major. So he went kind of radical on his preparation. Yeah. He went on a 6-day fast.
Oh,
actually,
God.
10 days. He said he called it a hard reset, but he stopped eating. He's lost 15 pounds.
In 10 days?
Yeah, fasting.
Holy
not eating.
Crap.
No eating for Phil.
Just water and coffee.
Could you manage the 10-day fast? I don't know exactly what how astringent it was, but if he's lost 15 pounds, it sounds like it was pretty serious.
Yeah, that's pretty heavy. I couldn't. Could you? I couldn't. I've done a... I've done a juice fast before, and where I did nothing but drink juices for 3 days, and it's fairly awful. I mean, it helps, and it kind of runs through you, and that's kind of what you need,
right?
But it's not awesome. It doesn't feel good. Fasting is not a good thing.
I know.
I do the intermittent fasting, which I like.
I know certain religions will have like their holiday fasting. Whatever it's, what is it?
Rosh Hashanah
or Yom Kippur? One of those. Hammer should know. He mentioned you do the fasting, Hammer, on holidays when you're supposed to fat. Now
he says no.
Shaking his head. He has his ketchup smoothie.
He's got to eat protein. He gets his protein in him. No. All right. Here's a good question, Ben. If your doctor said, Ben, you will lose 15 pounds, but you have to fast for 10 days. But it's coming off of you. It's guaranteed. Because that would be really crappy to fast and not lose the weight. But if you cannot eat for 10 days.
I'm sure I would.
Could you do it?
I'm sure I'd lose 15 pounds if I fasted for 10 days. And I'm sure I could do it. The question is, how quickly would I just gain the weight right back after the fast was over?
I remember this. So I did my juice fast. I went started Friday morning and ended, I did all day Friday, all day Saturday, all day Sunday. You know what my first meal was? A giant steak, baked potato, a piece of cheesecake. It defeated the entire purpose of the fast. You know, you're supposed to mix in a salad after you're done and a chicken breast, and I just couldn't do it.
That's why I'm not picking Phil Mickelson to win this week. I just don't think anyone who spent 10 days not eating is going to be mentally...
What if he's more mentally dialed in?
I mean, he's willing to try anything. He hasn't been playing well. He's struggling. Decided, let's go with a hard reset.
Can we get Will Myers on a fast? Because he also has not been playing well.
Could be worth trying.
Try anything at this point.
Now, someone did suggest on Twitter, without any verification, but I certainly was suspicious. He said, Phil Mickelson doesn't fast for 6 or 10 days without there being a large bet on the line somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. I bet you $100,000 you can't do it.
Someone bet Phil Mickelson that he couldn't make it through a fast of however long it was.
Bro,
and Phil's just trying to win money.
A 10-day fast. I mean, think about 10 days. Think about 10 more shows. There's no way. There's no chance. Water and coffee only, I think, is what
I miss one meal and I'm pretty much starving.
I'm starving right now. Starving.
Missing several days worth of meals.
I cannot wait to get out of here and go to Jersey Mike's.
You see those contestants on Survivor, they go away for a month and they barely eat anything. They all turn into emaciated, skin and bones at the end. They live, though. They survive.
They do. It's not awesome. Why do that to yourself if you don't have to?
reality television for them, in their purpose. Maybe for Phil, it's to win a British Open or win a bet, whichever it won. You got your
reasons.
Could
be both, yeah.
I guess I just need a better reason to lose weight other than being healthy. I guess just being healthy and feeling good about myself has never been enough.
No, it doesn't outweigh how good it is.
All the food that I like to eat so far. So that's been the struggle. So we've got some golf to talk about. Obviously, tomorrow morning.
You've got some golf to talk about. Paul and I are here to suffer through it, along with most of our audience.
Tomorrow morning, make sure you tune in at 6:35, I believe, is when we will pay off the incorporator.
Can't wait.
Jesse Agler today has his assignment, the word that he must seamlessly incorporate into today's Padres broadcast against the Miami Marlins. And the word, Woodsy, that you chose was?
Troglodyte. God, that's not going to be an easy one.
Seemed like it was going to, at first, Jesse kind of was taken aback. He was taken aback by the end of the interview, and then he tweeted us afterwards, I got this.
Of course not. I think I got it now.
He's got a plan. Now, every time, so far, the first 2 weeks that he's done, and obviously last week was the All-Star break, he got the word in like the top of the third inning. As soon as he took over play-by-play duties, Ted does the first two, then Jesse, top of the third, was ready to go. I mean, it'll be a win for us if we can make him like get to the fourth inning or something.
Yeah,
Get an inning out of him before he just gets that word out.
He's really good, man. He's really, really good. We may have met our match with the incorporator. He's such a good sport. I love that he does this. I love that, you know, while he takes his job extremely seriously and he's really, really good at it, one of the best, he doesn't take it so seriously that he won't mix in the word troglodyte into tonight's broadcast, which, by the way, means someone who lives in a cave. And then, of course, the other best part is listening to Uncle Teddy's reaction when Jesse seamlessly works in troglodyte.
Big of a little bit of an eater.
That's so good. I can't wait. I cannot wait.
Thank you, Bobby Flay.
Got a lot of people just tweeting in here at Ben and Woods here in our final minutes. Excited to hear Kevin Dineen on, talk a little hockey, getting some more reaction to our Hunter Renfroe versus Franmil Reyes. Which guys do you want to keep? You can continue to tweet us throughout the day. Woodsy is constantly on Twitter, and I will check in and out as well for sure. At Ben and Woods, if you want to continue the discussion until tomorrow morning at 5 a.m., I'm at Ben Higgins SD. You can catch me on television. I will be back tonight on Channel 10 on the evening news. And you can tweet Woods at the Stephen Woods.
Should we get a poll update?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. Our poll from the first hour when Hammer Time, Hammer decided that the question of the day was, because tomatoes are technically a fruit, is ketchup a smoothie?
Can't touch this. It's not going well for Hammer.
He just murders me. He murders me. How many votes?
We're up over 200.
Okay.
80% say no.
Well, listen, we're going to put it to the test tomorrow, and we will actually prepare Hammer a ketchup smoothie, which he said, yeah, I'll drink it, no problem. I love ketchup. He said he loves ketchup. Like, he's going to drink a ketchup smoothie. We've gone full morning zoo.
Going to go all the way with it. That's his business.
I love it. I'm good. And we are here for it.
All right, that's what to look forward to tomorrow on Ben and Woods. We'll be back at 5 a.m. Jim Rome is next. Coach John Quintero at noon today. And then Padres baseball pregame show at 3:10 against the Miami Marlins. For Hammer, for Paul Reindl, for Woodsy, I'm Ben. Thanks for joining us. Ben and Woods right here on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.